putting my own twists on songs and seeing what they turn out to be is very like, makes me want to work towards that goal. How far can this go? Like, how weird can this get?
I want it to be kind of like a journey. First part's more of just, you know, like beats I was making, you know, while I was here during COVID. Part two is more, I think, energetic, a little more bass heavy type stuff. So that's kind of why I split it up into two, so you could kind of like see the progression that I went through as an artist, like over the last like 2 years.
So here we are with Jason Leach. Jason, so glad to have you on here. How you doing today?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
So Jason, to start this off, I'd love to talk about your story, about kind of how you went from being a musician to now just kind of exploding onto the scene, playing festivals, going on tour, and just kind of your story with that.
Yeah, I guess my introduction into music was just piano and piano lessons. I started when I was in first grade, and I took lessons all through school, and even in college I kept taking piano lessons. Just really enjoyed playing keys. And then I around like my college years, I got into like keyboards and getting into synths and organ sounds, and I played in bands and like liked using, realized I could play different sounds on the keys. And then kind of got into just electronic music and hearing all those new sounds and how the songs were literally just like synths the entire time, like not guitar solos and drummers. It's like, you know, the front man was like the synth sounds. And I really, really liked that, and just kind of began that journey to try to emulate those sounds off the keys, you know what I mean?
From there, what was your point where you decided, okay, I want to be an actual artist with a brand and, you know, really trying to make a living from this?
Mm-hmm. I would say I started putting performance videos online of me doing that, like having the backbeat playing and me playing on top of it, and seeing them get a good response.
About when was that?
Probably like 2016, maybe. I think I have like 6 years I've been doing videos like that. And the first ones are real like, I don't know what I'm doing. I think my first videos, I was like, I hit play like off my like iPad, and I'm like, it's like there's no audio running. It's just like what you hear through the phone speaker. And then it just kind of, you know, the evolution of, you know, learning how to use Logic and like making it sound better, making the sound sound better. But I mean, back to your question, it was just seeing a good response. People really liked it, getting attention from larger artists and having them post my videos. I'm like, okay, then there's something special about this act. So I ran with it.
Did you feel like at any point before you had that response that it could lead to that?
No, I think I was just putting stuff up for fun. There's this old YouTuber, Ronald Jenkins. I don't know if you've ever seen any Ronald Jenkins videos, but he had the keyboard set up and he was kind of doing what I did, and he was playing these really cool synths. And I was like, it was just me going, oh, I want to do that too. And that's about as far as I took it. I was like, I like what he's doing. I know how to play keys. I want to do that too. And then it just kind of turned into growing an audience online and realizing that this could be something that I turn into a live set and go on a stage and play out.
Kind of took it from there. At that point where you know, like you said, you take it from there, and mm-hmm. now you're an artist, Jason Leach. What, at that point where you have a following and it's now your thing, what would you say then was like your biggest challenge?
It was really, really hard for me to, like, there was me that was online and people knew me from my videos online, but I had never played a show live. And it was a very big challenge to take, like, I just had 2 or 3 minute, you know, songs that I was just like doing online. I was like, how do I turn this into an hour set? And my first few sets were just like, it was like a song and then it would stop, and then the song and it would stop. It was like little to no transition. So I like really had to buckle down and figure out how to make it. I wanted to make it sound like how a DJ set sounds, where it just keeps going, like one long mix, and learning how to make it flow nicely. But like once I got that and it sounded like, you know, a DJ played before me, a DJ played after me, and it just sounded like I fit right in there, then I think it really started taking off for me.
And you mentioned that, you know, you were playing covers just for fun. So did you have original music?
I would just like write stuff on piano and stuff, not really put it out. I just got into covers and doing remixes. I really like, I enjoy, like my job when I started doing that was, I was the piano player that like in a restaurant and that played all the piano covers. You know what I mean? Like playing at resorts and hotels and stuff like that. And that was just kind of my thing, is learn a bunch of many songs as you could. And I enjoyed playing them. So then that just kind of carried over. And then I realized pretty far into it, it's like, okay, I got to start getting some originals out. And I slowly just started doing those and like introducing those. But doing that, making like an electronic song, that required me how to really learn how to use my DAW, you know, use Logic. And that is like in a total new instrument in itself. So that was also a challenge to get over too.
Looking back at that first part of your career as an artist, you know, beyond playing in a hotel or a restaurant, mm-hmm. what would you say if you could have done anything differently during that phase you might have done?
It's funny. I went to school first to be an engineer. I went to engineering school, and I just did that because it was a job that made a lot of money. And then that is just, if I'm going to go to college, I might as well do that. That's what I was doing while I was playing those gigs. But like in my heart, I knew I was a musician, but I was like, that's too scary, like to just be a musician in today's world, you know. And I did have like the play it safe mentality. It's crazy, but like if I would go back, I'd be like, just go all in, don't worry about a safety net, you know, like you could use that time to just keep grinding on music. Might have got me further, but I don't know, looking back, like maybe things happened for a reason, and you know, it steered me in whatever direction I need to be steered.
So then with where you're at now, like as an artist, what does growth look like for you?
I don't have an album. I have a bunch of singles, but I don't have an album. And that is the next big thing for me. On top of playing like bigger shows, hitting all these festivals, you know, but like a personal step forward would be the album.
What would you say, like beyond you as an artist, it like growth and improvement looks like for you?
Finding a balance. I with music, this is any, and it's not just music, but it's just like at any given second of the day, you could be working on it. And that's anybody that's like, you know, an entrepreneur or has their own business or whatever they're doing. It's just like you could be doing that right now. You could be doing that every second. You could cut some hours off your sleep and do it in the morning. You know, it's just like, and just finding out when to stop and when to relax and like keeping things in order, basically.
Do you feel like your personality has evolved at all or shifted at all as a byproduct of you like becoming an artist?
You know, like surprisingly, I can say I'm pretty much the same, and that like I hope that my like I don't get a big ego or like, you know, a big head from it. But like it is cool to see that it's working and it's exciting, but I do feel like generally the same person. And it's very strange to see people coming up and recognize me and saying they knew who I am and are playing these shows in front of all these people. You know, I would say is different is like comfortability on stage. Like at first it was just like, I had no idea what I was doing. And now like, I really am not bothered by standing in front of a huge, you know, group of people. Something definitely changed in my head for that. Catch myself on the mic and not caring as much, which is very different for me. I'm surprised I can do that. It's cool to see. And I know it's just that exposure over and over again. I just kept doing it. And then it's just like, if something this is like another thing, if something happens on stage, like a technical issue, I really don't care as much. Like I go, like, you know, and try to figure it versus like if there's something that happens and it's like the scary, like, you know, tunnel vision, oh my gosh, something went wrong, all these people. Like I've noticed that like if something goes wrong or for the music cuts out or something, I'm just like, oh, let's see, gotta figure that out. It's like just another day at work. So I'm glad to see that I am more comfortable on stage and kind of relaxed on that end.
I'm curious, like, you know, you as a music fan, what are some specific things you admire about some of the artists that you just really look up to?
I would say I'm always just so surprised as to how these artists keep the show and releases balanced. Like I know that you have to use your time like to work on your music any way you can, but it's just like I'm not really getting very good work done on a plane or at a hotel. Like maybe if I got a good idea down and then I'm just doing like mixing and stuff, but like it's hard. I'm out of town every weekend for the rest of this year, like with shows, and it's just like, all right, when am I going to be working on something new? And if I am, is it going to be like my best work? Like, is this really what I should be doing? But to see artists like put out quality material and have just a huge tour at the same time, it's very surprising to me. It's just like, wow, however they figure out how to do that.
Balance.
Yeah, and also live a life, you know, like also like, you know, some of these people have kids, like it's crazy. It's like I can only do one thing at a time. And I see a lot of artists managing to juggle multiple. It's pretty cool.
So Jason, next, I want to do a segment where we get to know you better, asking, you know, just a few kind of just general questions.
Well, if you made it this far, thank you for listening. Just want to let y'all know we've got these hand-dyed, ice-dyed Weird Music Podcast hoodies and also tees. If you'd like one, let us know. We'd love to get you one. Also want to give a big shout-out to Voodoo Ranger from New Belgium Brewing for sponsoring this podcast. And a big thank you to the geniuses over at Thrax CBD for sponsoring us with their amazing products. Also want to give a big thank you to J&J Distribution, Ohio's premier Delta 8 and CBD wholesale supplier. Retailers, check out their brands Cloud 8, Compassionate Buds, and Zaza. Also a big thank you to our local print shop, Franklinton Press. Definitely hit them up for any of your custom merch or custom printing needs. They'll take good care of you. Got links in the description. And yeah, much love, y'all. Now back to the episode.
What types of things activate your motivation when it comes to you and creating?
Putting my own twists on songs and seeing what they turn out to be is very like, makes me want to work towards that goal. That's like one thing for the remixes. It's just like, I wonder how far I can take that. But honestly, like just in like the bigger sense, I'm motivated just by like, how far can this go? Like, how weird can this get? It's really cool to see like a video of me in front of a large audience, like something like, it's like, look where you are in the matrix. You know what I mean? Like look how far and how weird you get, like, you know, could I play at EDC on main stage and have my keyboards in front and all these, like, that's a crazy thought, but like it could happen. And like, it's just weird to think that there's a way to maneuver to get there. People do it. It's very, you know, it's difficult, but I'm motivated to see like how far down this whole thing can go. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I think it's just cool. It's just like, or like when I see an artist like upload one of my videos, like the first EDM I was listening to was like Zed's Dead, and like I was like, what is this Zed's Dead, like, you know, this new dubstep thing. And then to see them post check out this video of Jason Leach, it's like I'm really messing with like reality. And it's just, I don't know, I'm always intrigued by that.
If you had to pick three songs as a way to get to know you, whether they're yours or someone else's, what three would you pick?
You know, like a song that's just like, that blew me away and really made me want to get into music, like into like be a musician. My Chemical Romance, Black Parade. That was a big song for me back in the day. I liked how big it was. I liked theatrical, and I wanted to do something like that. And like, I kind of emulate that in my music. Like I wanted to sound like theatrical. That's a big one. For one of my own, like my first original is Back of My Arms. That's on Spotify. And it uses this instrument that's my favorite instrument to play, this synth. It's a massive instrument. And that sound is like my voice. And I've used it for multiple songs and like in remixes, but like just the vibe of that instrument and in that song says a lot about what my voice is. You know, it's like I don't sing, but if you could hear like what I'm trying to say, it's like the instrument in that song. I also use it in a recent one, Derealization, another one of mine, but it's just that instrument. It's just so like, I love it. And it's just, it feels just right under my fingers. That's the one I love. One of my favorite songs is Do You Realize by The Flaming Lips. I love the lyrics to that one. That's one of my top favorite songs. It's kind of theatrical too, but as far as like lyrics, that one really hits home.
What would you say is the personality trait that you admire most in other people?
It's something that I try to do too, and it is making the other person comfortable and saying it out loud, like breaking the ice. You ever like you walk into a room and like you don't really know like where to stand or like who these people are, you know, but somebody, hey, we got, you know, like welcomes you into it and like makes you like eases it. Like I really always appreciate that people like are inclusive like that, make you feel seen, you know. And I try to do that too. Like if somebody's like at one of the shows and they see me and they don't know what to do and they want to talk to me, like I will just be like, hey, and just kind of like make the first wave and say hi, and they're like, oh, then they get to come up and now they can say what they wanted to say. But sometimes it's like people don't know how to act, and they need to be like put at ease. I need to be that, like I do that because that's what I need, and I need to be put at ease. Like, so it's really cool when people do that for me, so I try to do that for others. I guess it's just making another person feel seen, be like, make them feel welcomed.
Have you ever experienced anything that you just can't logically explain?
Yeah. When I was a kid, me, my sister, and my cousin, we were at my grandparents' farm, and we saw some deer in a field, and it's a big open field, and we were chasing, and we started chasing them, running after them, and the deer ran, and they, as soon as the deer ran into the forest line, like where the woods began, a big white thing, and we call it the big white thing, shot across the entire forest like that, and we all saw it. My cousin fell back and hit the ground, and it was the one thing that I've never been able to explain, and like we ran back and tried to tell our parents, like, yeah, and it just sounds like what I'm telling you, but from kids, but I remember it clear as day, and I cannot explain what it was. It filled the entire forest, and it went quickly, like ran through all the trees, and it was really weird because as soon as the deer made it in, like they're like jumping and they made it through the woods, and then this thing just shot straight across all the trees, huge, like as high as the trees, and we saw it take up the whole forest like a beam of light, but it was just a bright white figure that just ran across the forest. Really weird. Still bothers me to this day.
Well, Jason Leach, glad to have you on here. Starting to wrap up, talk to me about your recent collaboration with Marvel Years.
Yeah, Come This Far, featuring Jess Slam. And it's a song that I use, that instrument that I was just talking about, that synth sound, I used that in it. And I sent Marvel Years, like, it kind of like, he even said it sounded like kind of like a movie soundtrack, theatrical stuff. I laid like strings and these pianos and horns and made it sound like this big swelling orchestra thing. And I sent him that and this melody. And then he laid down these drums and kind of played guitar to it, passed it back and forth. And he got someone to lay vocals on it. And came out great. I'm really happy about it. And then we were able to play that live together recently in Denver at Cervantes, and when I played with Marvel Years Trio. So got to actually perform all those parts live on our instruments.
Hell yeah. Well, Jason Leach, got links in the description. Check him out on socials everywhere. Got one last question for you. Hypothetically, you have a child and you give them one piece of advice that will be in their pocket for their life. What would you say?
Do what is in your heart and go all in on it. maybe instrument, maybe dancing, maybe a business idea, maybe anything. If it's there, put your head down, go all in on it. You'll be happy you did.
My man, thanks for joining me here. Jason Leach. I think you'll be going on tour here soon. I have a link in the description to that. Check it out. Yeah, y'all. Thanks for tuning in.
For sure, man. Thank you for having me.
So here we are with Marvel Years. Corey, man, so glad to have you on here. For everyone out there listening, Marvel Years just came out with a 2-part EP called Voyage Ahead. And yeah, man, congrats to you on that release. I want to start this off talking about like doing a 2-part EP as the release. And a lot of people who listen to this are up and coming artists themselves. And like, I'm curious what your thinking is going into that, doing not an album, but a 2-part EP.
Mm-hmm. Well, I started writing it like right when COVID hit. So when we were in lockdowns, so I wrote like, you know, the first 4, 5, 6 tracks during like the lockdowns. The last like 4 tracks I wrote kind of like when we started playing shows again. So I was thinking about putting it out as an album at first. And then I kind of figured like, I wanted it to be kind of like a journey, like what I was going through over the last like 2 years. So I put out the first part. I split it into 2, basically like during COVID lockdowns. And then the second part is a continuation of it. It's like my, you know, progression as things started to pick back up again. I started playing shows again. So like the part two is more, I think, energetic, a little more bass heavy type stuff, which like translates into live shows. And the first part's more of just, you know, like beats I was making, you know, while I was here during COVID. So that's kind of why I split it up into two, so you could kind of like see the progression that I went through as an artist, like over the last like 2 years.
I'm curious, when you're evaluating your own music, like what you're making, how do you determine quality? Like what, you know, you really think has a lot of potential, and then maybe some other stuff that you might not use?
Well, in terms of like songs, man, like I'll make a bunch of beats. I'll make a bunch of different songs, and I'll make them, and then I'll step away from them for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks or something like that. And when I come back to it, like the ones that really stand out to me, after like 3 weeks of not hearing them, like those are the ones that I'll kind of pursue and like finish up. Cause it's kind of hard. Like when you're producing, you know, making a song, you'll hear it like 400, 500 times. So after a while, it's like you get tunnel vision. You're like, you know, I don't know if this is good or not, blah, blah, blah. So I usually like take like 2 weeks of not listening to it, kind of put it on the back burner, and then I come back to it. And the ones that stick out to me are the ones that like I usually, you know, follow through with and release.
Yeah, you mentioned this tunnel vision, and like, I mean, with this show, but I feel like really with anything, it's hard not to build up this like muscle memory where you're kind of doing the same things, and it's hard to have a like a wider perspective on, you know, exactly what you're making. Like for example, like a guitar player can fall into the same riffs like over time. And I'm curious with you how you kind of fight against that and keep yourself doing things that are original, that don't feel like, you know, something similar to what you keep on doing.
Yeah, I think like, well, being a guitar player too, like, you know, I do fall into the rhythm of kind of playing the same shit over and over again. But after a while, I get really bored with it. And that'll like, you know, drive me to like learn something new or like try and like go outside my comfort zone. And like, I think that especially like translates into my music production for me personally, because like, I'm always trying to like kind of do something a little bit different than I did on the last song, or like find new sounds, or like try different, you know, tempo, drop, like whatever it may be. I'm always trying to kind of one up the last song I put out and kind of make it a little bit different. So I think like my guitar playing actually helps me in that sense, kind of just keep it moving, you know, and keep progressing as an artist so you don't get bored of it.
Right on. So everyone out there listening, we're going to try a new kind of segment here, like a getting to know Marvel Years. If you could open up producers' eyes to something innovative or different that maybe the majority of producers could be doing differently, or a certain aspect of music that you think might be overlooked, what would you say maybe that is?
I mean, well, something for me, I mean, obviously listening to a bunch of music that I wouldn't normally listen to. I started listening to like a bunch of classical music lately. And, you know, a bunch of classical music. I also like would listen to like Hans Zimmer stuff. And that really like helped me. It kind of introduced me to like all these crazy chord progressions you could have, and like just how they set the mood. And it kind of got me out of like this, I don't know, like maybe a creative rut a little bit or something like that. So like, you know, I've been listening to a bunch of weird shit, you know, just classical stuff. But also like collabing with artists that are not in your realm musically, like someone totally left field who's doing something totally different. It could like really help you like open up your mind.
So, you know, branching off of that, who would you say right now would be like a dream collab for you?
Oh shit. Well, I mean, I gotta say Tom Morello, because he's like my favorite guitarist of all time. And that one isn't like too out of reach. Like it's out of reach for sure, but like, you know, it's not like completely out of reach. So Tom Morello for sure is like my number one dude.
All right, complete this thought. I wish I had paid more attention when
I was in school.
What class?
Just my business class in college. I took a business class in college, and I was like, that was when I first started touring. And so I kind of just never went to it, really, which was so stupid, because I didn't realize I would end up having my own business. And like, I could have really learned a lot from that business class, but instead I learned it through, you know, making mistakes over the years and learning from and stuff like that. So yeah, pay attention in school, guys.
What would you say is the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
I mean, it sounds like corny or whatever, but it was from my dad, man. When I first started doing music, I was in college, and I went to him and I was like, I could do this music thing or I could graduate. And he basically told me, it's like, dude, like, you have one life. Like, if you want to do something, you got to pursue it, because you're going to look back in like 40 years and wish you did it. You know, he basically told you, like, if you have a dream, like, just go out and try and get it, because at least you tried. Like, kind of corny advice, but at the same time, like, that literally made me want to dive into the whole music thing. So that was like, that was it for me, for sure.
As a thought experiment, what do you think you 10 years from now might say to yourself now?
Shit, I don't know, man. I'd probably tell myself to just, I don't know, just keep going, like, keep pushing through it. You all the hard times, all the good times, just like, you know, keep grinding, basically. I mean, that's what I would tell myself. If I talked to myself 10 years ago when I first started, I would say the same thing, man. Just like, keep grinding, keep your head up, and just like, keep pushing along, because you never know.
Right on. And Marvel Years, final question. Everyone out there listening, check out Voyage Ahead. Gonna have a link here in the description. So looking at artists that have inspired you, had an impact on you, really, you know, made you want to go all in on music, can you talk to me about some things you admire about, you know, their approach to music specifically?
Yeah, well, one of the dudes that I really like got me started and like sparked my interest was RJD2. I saw him like live in concert when I was in high school, and after that I just listened to all of his music, every album, and that like just opened up a whole new realm of possibilities for me. Yeah, I don't know, just the way he went about his production, you know, finding samples, the way he flipped the samples, you know, how he found them, just everything about it was so fascinating to me. And that alone like made me want to start making music after learning how you can make music like that. Cause I didn't even know that was like a possibility. You know, I would listen to songs like that or like Pretty Lights, and I'd be like, man, these guys are recording all these violins themselves. And like I had no idea that you could even sample things like that. So that was like a huge eye opener for me. That was like very impactful in the early days.
Anything else come to mind, like maybe guitar players or, you know, any other kinds of music that, you know, you really take something from?
Yeah, I mean, Rage Against the Machine, like, obviously, like, man, I fucking love those dudes. And just like their blend of you're like Beastie Boys too, like their blend of, you know, rock and roll, because I grew up playing rock and roll on guitar, and then I got really big into hip-hop, and they're like combination of the hip-hop with like the rock sounds, like that blew my mind. And like that opened up a whole, you know, world for me. You know, that's how I started doing like classic rock remixes with like hip hop acapellas over it, kind of following the same path, you know? So that was like really impactful for me. And then like, also I got into music cause my uncle was a musician. So like, he is like what sparked me to like want to do music. You know, he used to playing bands, and they opened for like Bon Jovi and stuff back in the day. So he was like, he was doing it pretty seriously, crazy keyboard player. So yeah, like he also is just like, that is what sparked me to want to do music in the first place.
Right on. Well, Corey, man, great to get to know you better here. Thanks for joining me, man.
Dude, thanks for having me on, man. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. And if you're listening out there, Voyage Ahead, you know what to do. Marvel Years, check out the tour dates. My man, thanks again.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate it.